success. Are the individuals that pulled items 1428 and 1429 in the chamber? All right, Carla, would you please read the title and call the vote for 1428 and then 1429?
Apply for permits to allow for installation of a renewable energy project developed by Lucid Energy, Inc. Oh. and Portland Water Bureau. This is an emergency.
Tell them we're waiting. Okay. Great. Please come forward and give us your names and tell us why you pulled these items. Anyone that wants to testify on these items, come up now. Are you testifying or not? Okay. Please begin.
Nancy Newell, and it's going to be pretty brief, actually. I think that renewables is a good idea. I just don't think it is a good contract because I believe that solar is the commons, and I believe that utility benefit from it should be a complete benefit to the people and not a corporation involved in who sets the rates, how much power we gain from it, and the way the contract is structured. So I'd rather see something that had a little more balance than the one that's presented for council.
Thanks for testifying.
And that would be my comment.
Thanks. And your name again?
Nancy Newell.
Thank you. Ma'am?
My name is Beth John Syracuse, and on 1428 and 1429, I realize that you're going out for permits. And on the one, it's for Lucid Energy, Inc., and it was pulled and put on your schedule as part of, I think, was the CH2M Hill contract from the 14th. I don't know, because when I read it, it basically said that it was coming from as a second vote from something.
Nope.
And anyway, that being said, I'm interested to know what kind of energy, and are they a part of PG&E up there?
No.
It's a separate company, and that we're
local,
getting...
It's a local startup.
And we're putting a startup in the Bull Run system.
A Portland-based company is, which has started up here in Portland.
Based company.
Portland-based company. It's not part of PGE. It's not part of CH2M Hill.
And it's a startup company going into our Bull Run. We're getting permits.
Nothing is going into the Bull Run.
They're not going into the. Where are they going? Where are they going to be planted in their project?
East Portland.
I'm David Schaff. I'm the director of the Water Bureau. The project is intended to be in a vault in 162nd and Powell. They're turbine generators that are using the flow from conduit 3 to generate electricity, much like what we do up at the Sabin micro hydro facility. So it'll be in 162nd and Powell.
So instead of using just vaults to regulate the water pressure, we're using this sort of renewable energy device that they're working on and perfecting and regulating water pressure while producing green renewable energy by a local small business.
And the electricity that's generated goes into the grid, and we'll get a small piece of the profits from that.
The opportunity is for a lot of countries around the world, both developed and undeveloped, to be able to use this technology to provide for electricity in remote places that currently don't have it, or in urban places that do have it, but it's being like ours. 70% of our electricity comes from fossil fuel in the city of Portland. 40%, 4 out of 10 minutes, comes from coal.
Thank you, Mayor. On the next one, I was wondering how much money the... What do you call it?
Remediation?
Yes, the remediation. How much we were spending on that, on cleaning up the PG&E spill?
Our projected costs are between $125,000 and $150,000. It's a shared agreement, so we're projecting it could cost anywhere from $250,000 to $300,000 total. We share the cost 50-50 with PGE.
So we had no insurance?
We're a self-insured organization.
You can't get insurance for environmental spills.
Okay, and then the last thing I wanted to bring up was with having somebody new in our pipes, we have the ability to create cryptosporidium. Whenever we start moving anything, we don't know what's going to be turning up in the water when we're testing stuff. And from what I understand, the tests for cryptosporidium are put out by CH2M Hill and in the industry are not considered to be accurate. I would like maybe something to address
this
that.
Says, this
I don't think that's accurate. And David,
CH has nothing to do with water quality testing. Not with us, anyway. Our contracts are through a lab in Vermont. We just signed a new contract that you approved last month, I think it was.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you all.
Sherry Lambert-Holenstein. Basically, I want to mention that there's such a lack of transparency. When you people run for office, you all run on being transparent, and it seems like when you're elected, you do a lot of things behind closed doors, and it's very hard to know what's going on, just as these issues that Nancy and Beth are both talking about.
So just so you know, news release went out, video. This is a great local startup that's trying to do good things in the world and capture water pressure that already exists. And instead of just using gates to gate down the pressure, they're turning it into something good. We are a partner in the sense that we're their first largest application of it. That's why they chose Portland, because they felt we were innovators in terms of the support and development of companies that are green and renewable. And so that's what this is. If it works, it will turn in the potential of turning into a bigger company that serves the entire world. That's the possibility. We'll see what happens. This is part of our economic development strategy related to clean technology and clean technology services. So thank you all very much.
Thank you.
So can you please call the vote for 1428?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. So approved. Can you please call the vote for 1429?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
So approved. That gets us to the first items pulled. Well, that was it. Thank you. So now we're on to item number. Can you please read the item? It is a non-emergency ordinance, 1463.
Establish independent city budget office.
Commissioner Amanda Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor Adams, and thanks to everybody who's been involved in this process over the last, 4 years that I've been in office, because indeed I've been thinking about how our process works and how it doesn't for the entire 4 years. And I'm very happy to be bringing forward this proposal today. And the question that I've been pondering is how to ensure the best budget process that can provide necessary support to all bureaus and at the same time provide council with the information needed to make the best decisions on budgetary matters. This proposal is a first step on that, and I acknowledge up front the collaboration of the Office of Management and Finance and its director, Jack Graham, who we've had many conversations and will be continuing to refine this process as we move forward with the new council. The solution to this solution is quite simple and straightforward, and I believe provides the city with a more transparent and accessible budget process, more access by council to make more responsible decisions that I'm able to make. And I have received a lot of input from various folks. I'm submitting an amended public involvement report that details some of that. My staff, Tim Crail, has worked very hard on this, as has my chief of staff, Tom Bizeau, and Tim is here to explain the proposal.
Mayor Adams, Commissioner, good afternoon. For the record, my name is Tim Crail. I work in the office of Commissioner Fritz. As the commissioner has indicated, we have been studying this for some time. We looked at best practices, but because of our unique form of government for a jurisdiction of this size, there are no best practices on location of the budget office. Most large cities in America have either a city manager or a strong mayor system of government. No other large city as a commission form of government like we have in Portland. In other large cities, budgetary functions are almost always directly under the city manager or a strong mayor. Unlike a city manager or strong mayor form of government, in Portland, each member of council has both executive and legislative responsibilities. As you know, currently budget functions reside within the Financial Planning Division, within the Bureau of Financial Services, within the Office of Management and Finance. By having a standalone city budget office, we believe council will receive the unfiltered, timely information that is needed for both executive functions and legislative decisions. The ordinance directs the newly created city budget director to return to council within 45 days with an implementation plan, including an organizational chart, a work plan outline, a proposed budget, and a timetable for full implementation. The city budget director and bureaus within the Office of Management and Finance are directed to work together to identify office space options and appropriate employee classifications. Except for the cost of moving the office to a new location, no additional costs are envisioned with the creation of this new office unless or until council directs otherwise. As Commissioner Fritz mentioned, we have made several changes to the original proposal we filed in October. You've had a very long morning, and because of that, I will summarize or just list what the changes are. And if you have questions about details, I can go into more detail. The three changes are we had originally had three utility experts included. That has been eliminated. We had a required vote of council to remove the budget director. That has been eliminated. And at the request of the chief administrative officer, we wanted to ensure that the CAO would continue to play a role in the budget process, and we've added three places in the code that ensure that continues. We expect that this proposal will improve the city's budget process, provide direct, unfiltered communication between the elected's offices and the budget office, and lead to better decisions by council. Commissioner Fritz has made a commitment to work with the new mayor to review whether our expectations have been met and make additional changes if circumstances suggest. I'm happy to take any questions you might have.
Any questions?
Tim, is this the first time you've appeared before us?
It is. 4 years it took me to get up here.
I had some questions, but they're not quite related to this matter.
That's right. How do you feel about being in front of us?
Since you are sworn, has the witness been sworn, Carla?
He should be. Sworn at or sworn in?
We're getting punchy, and we're already beginning the afternoon's agenda.
I have a couple questions. So I view this as a work in progress and as sort of an experiment. You and Amanda are the principal authors of this. So at what point looking forward will we have enough information, your judgment, to decide whether this is a good idea, a bad idea, or an idea that needs some further work?
I think the short answer is at the end of this budget cycle. Unfortunately, I think because of the late timing of when this is going into place, I hate to make a judgment based on one budget cycle, since it's already December and bureaus are already working on budgets, and now the office is going to be trying to form at the same time they're doing all of their budget work that they always do every year. So I think we'll start looking at it this August, September, but I think to get a true reading it would take another cycle.
Has this modified proposal been, has the mayor-elect been briefed on this modified proposal, and does he have an official position on it?
Well, I don't want to speak for him, but he has been very involved in it and has had discussions, and two of the changes were actually made at his request. So this does reflect his thinking on the idea.
You said in your outstanding presentation, I might add, your first, you said that there was no cost other than the cost of relocating to a new space, and then so is there a line item for this change that includes the cost of new offices or a move or both?
That has not been identified. I expect that will be what is included in the report back by the new city budget director in his proposal in 45 days.
And is
within 45 days.
When you talk about a new space, are we talking about something in this building or somewhere else?
unless there's space in this building I'm not aware of, it's probably not in this building, but I think it needs to be as close to council as we can find space for.
Okay. And in the public outreach that you've done on this matter, have there any substantive issues come up from people that are not directly involved in this matter that had any concerns about the impact of this office on the sort of checks and balances that we currently have in this building?
I'm not aware of any. We do have support of outside groups. I think at least one person is here to testify in support of the concept.
Thank you.
There was support for the concept of having utility rate experts, but others had concerns about that, so that was a piece that we pulled out and we'll look at further. And this may be a good time for me to move some amendments, which I've passed out to you. There are three changes to the code section, which Commissioner Leonard suggested, which are before you today. Wording changes deleting operations from Section B of 1610, deleting negotiation, substituting deliberation on collective bargaining concepts, and where's the other?
A up at the top, and policy.
And deleting policy and policy from Section A. Thank you. This is definitely a team effort.
I'll second those amendments.
Thank you.
It's been moved and seconded. Additional discussion. Carly, can you please call the vote on the amendments?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Should be noted that one of these suggestions was independently made by Commissioner-elect Novick, so we've also had some contact with him and his staff.
That's frightening.
Please don't enable this. For God's sake, if I get one more text from him, I no.
You too.
Strike that from the record, Carla, please. We don't want to encourage Fish. Anymore.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye.
And then so the second fruits. Amendment is to have a substitute public involvement statement. The previous one was a draft, so I move
second.
Been moved and seconded. Carla, can you please call the vote on the motion unless there's additional council discussion? I don't hear any, so go ahead.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye.
Move to testimony.
There are two amendments potentially on the back of the sheet as well, Amanda.
Oh, thank you. I think those were included in the... Oh, that's one that my staff had called out. Thank you. This, and indeed in response to Director Graham, that the code as proposed had a conflict, and so we're deleting the reference to putting the grants management in the Public Finance and Treasury Division. That, of course, will be left to the Director of the Office of Management and Finance to assign where that would live. So I move that amendment as well.
And move second. Any discussion on that amendment? Carla, can you please call the vote on the motion?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz? Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. So approved. Are there more?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to testimony. Has anyone signed up to testify, or do you have any invited testimony?
We have a couple of folks.
Oh, go ahead. The sign-up was Larry Emery.
And we... Bottomly, also okay. And thank you to Andrew Frazier, who was the previous chair of the Small Business Advisory Council, who was here at 2 and had to leave.
Thank you for your perseverance. Would you like to begin?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. I had no involvement in crafting of this legislative initiative. By way of introduction, I want to say a few things about my experience. I am a retired federal career executive.
Could you give us your name for the record?
Larry Emery. Sorry. I have more than 35 years of experience in budget and financial planning at the federal level. My budget experience began in defense, and I spent time at the Office of Management and Budget, and in 1980 moved to the Department of State, where I served as a Deputy Associate Controller of Budget and Planning. My career at State was in resource management and executive positions. Post-retirement, I served two terms on the elected board governing a small town in Maine, St. Albans. So I'm familiar with this public management challenge that budget people have to face. I think in support of the ordinance, that during this difficult economic time, it is essential that the city continue to strengthen its capacity to assure the tax revenue and user fees that it collects are appropriate and well managed. Ever mindful of the burden their collection places on individuals and on business, It is essential that the budgets enacted are sufficient to meet the services of the city, that the Bureau managers and the Council are able to make informed decisions when setting priorities and allocating funds. Based on my experience at the national and local level, I believe that the proposed findings of this ordinance as amended are sound and that the functions specified for the new office are appropriate. I would add that it's equally essential that the new office is adequately staffed and has sufficient resources allocated to it. A key to success of any enterprise is to assure that the human resources available have the skills and competencies and motivations to achieve the mission assigned. The city budget process must continue to provide transparency and accountability. To work, the new office must develop a trust relationship with the bureaus whose budget it supports and the citizens to whom it is ultimately accountable through the council. When I first began my budget career at OMB, the mantra of the careers there was their goal of neutral competence and integrity. I'm confident that with sound leadership, a similar motivation, that the proposed city budget office will serve the city well. I urge unanimous adoption of the proposed ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Bottomley, welcome back.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. Bernie Bottomley from the Portland Business Alliance, appearing in support of the measure. I think Commissioner Fritz and her staff outlined a lot of the good reasons why this proposal works for us. I'll just highlight a couple of additions. One is the role of interfund, interbureau transfers and charges. It's really one of the, I think, maybe the biggest line item in the budget if you added them all up. And yet, in the budget process, there's very little attention paid to that that element. And having sat on budget advisory committees for a number of bureaus, I know firsthand how difficult it is for bureaus to put their budgets together when a lot of their revenue is an interfund exaction or they have payments that they have to make to other bureaus. And I think this centralized function can really help us collectively understand those interfund transfers, those interbureau transfers a lot better. We would like to see the, as Commissioner Fritz or Fish mentioned, this is a work in progress, and I think we would like to see the utility, regulatory, or oversight function reviewed at some point and perhaps revisited. We think that's an element of the budget development that certainly we would like to see made more robust over time. And then a request from the Alliance for this new entity, we would like to see the opportunity for development of a fee, one-stop shop fee document in the budget process where all of the fee increases or changes that are being contemplated for the coming fiscal year all appear in one place. Usually around May or so, the city starts getting phone calls from constituents somewhere in the city because they're getting their first notice of a new fee. And we hear about it, and you hear about it. And one of the difficulties is it's very difficult to, unless you're very familiar with the budget process, it's hard to find a lot of those fees. And it's certainly difficult to understand the cumulative impact of those fees. So we'd love to see this mechanism used to add that to the mix. And then finally, having looked over this ordinance, our final reason for supporting it is looking through it, I can find no place in the ordinance where there's any threat of an increase in cryptosporidium in our water supply. So for that reason alone, I believe it should pass. So.
You haven't read the small print on the cover sheet, my friend.
I think there's some cryptosporidium floating out there right now.
Thank you very much, both of you, for your testimony. Thank Is there anyone much. Else that wishes to testify? Is it? Then I move to apply the emergency.
Oh, Second.
What do you think about that?
I think that's an excellent suggestion, Mayor.
Sure?
Thank you.
Because if you don't want to, we don't have to.
Having seen more irregular process in this last week, Commissioner Leonard, than in
I'm outraged.
My first four years. But I am
not
moved
and seconded
to call that out.
I think
to apply the emergency because
I want to have a public hearing first on that.
The city's budget is key to providing life and safety services, and a transition should be swift that allows for the best possible decision making around life and safety issues.
Second.
Can you please call the vote on the motion to apply the emergency? I'd just like to see Commissioner Fritz doesn't know what to do.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. All right, we're now voting on the ordinance that is now an emergency ordinance.
Leonard.
Please call the vote.
Aye.
Fritz.
This is evidence that when you take the time and do some more process, other than adding the emergency clause, which I appreciate because it will allow us to expeditiously implement what we've been discussing for several months, we've gotten to a much better product. And I thank everyone on this council and everyone who's in the ordinance, many of whom had a big part in that. Tim Crail and Tom Bizzo on my staff and others in other offices. This moves us forward in a very positive way, and I appreciate it. Aye.
Fish?
Well, first, I want to thank Commissioner Fritz for her leadership in bringing the council together around this, what I consider to be an important reform proposal. And as we've already discussed, if for some reason we don't have the right mix or balance or there's some way to refine or improve, we're committed to doing that. I want to step back just for 1 second and look at the last 4 years of budgets. During the worst recession in our lifetime, we've done four balanced budgets, which, in my opinion, have addressed the core priorities that we've come together around, and that's public safety, job creation, and the safety net. And I'm proud of the values that have embodied in those budgets. At the same time, over the last 4 years, I have felt that personally that in our system and the way it's currently constructed, there was a tendency to force commissioners to think more about their bureau budgets than the citywide budget, and there was less information about the citywide perspective than was accessible to us with respect to our bureaus. I think we do some of our best work when we're not acting simply as commissioner in charge, but we're also acting in our equally important function as city commissioner. And so for me, the question is, does this proposal strengthen and improve our budget process? And I sincerely believe it does, and I reached that position after significant time talking to Amanda, Jack, my colleagues, and others. At the same time, I want to be very clear about my support. I personally have the highest regard for the professional staff at OMF generally, but specifically for Financial Planning Division, and I have a special sweet spot in my heart for the Chief Administrative Officer, who has always conducted himself with the highest standards of professionalism and ethics in dealing with this council. So my vote today in no way is a reflection on the way they do their work. It is, I think, though, a response to the way we do our work, the existing checks and balances, and the way the system is structured. And I believe this will make the budgeting process better, and I believe we will exercise our roles as city commissioners more robustly. And therefore, I think it's worth going down this path and taking on this experiment. So, again, to Commissioner Fritz, who has led this reform effort, thank you for your good work. To all of my colleagues who've weighed in, it's been a good discussion, and I am hopeful that this gets us to a better place as we go forward, that it, in fact, strengthens and improves our budget process. And if that does not, in fact, pan out, then I'm open to further mid-course corrections. So thank you. Aye.
Adams.
I think this is a healthy step for the city, having helped years ago under Mayor Katz's administration to create the Office of Management and Finance. I think that this is not about fixing something that is broke. I think this is about continuous improvement. And I think that, as is evidenced by giving our Chief Administrative Officer, Jack Graham, additional responsibilities with merging revenue into the Office of Management and Finance, we have great confidence in him. And I think that confidence is very well placed. I also think that having an independent budget office that is part of the overall family is a step of improvement in the right direction. Budgets I've cut. There might have been a year where we had a budget surplus in my nearly two decades here, but I think almost every year that I've been here, we've cut budgets, even as chief of staff. So that will continue. That will need to continue, and I think this is a useful improvement in our overall structure to allow for that to happen even more effectively. I want to thank Commissioner Fritz for her leadership on this issue, and I'm pleased to vote aye. All right, we're in recess for exactly 0 minutes. Can you please read the title to Emergency Ordinance, item number 1464.
Authorized Memorandum of Agreement with Oregon Public Broadcasting to communicate critical information to the public in the event of an emergency.
Believe it or not, the city has not had a formal relationship with any radio station or now you would call it media outlet as used to be a tradition in emergency planning and response. We have not had such a relationship, a formal relationship with a media outlet. That changes today if this is approved by the City Council. It's part of the massive overhaul and changes and improvements that have taken place under the leadership of the folks in front of us. So good is their work that they're actually getting a new home, thanks to the leadership of Commissioner Randy Leonard. So also today...
Not the Rose Building.
Not
the Rose Building.
Oh, it's in the basement of the Rose, Rose Festival.
I'll just be clear, it's not...
Okay, so all Portland households are receiving the first ever, that sort of all goes together with what's in front of us, the first ever map that shows their local beacons, and the beacons are, my two examples happen to be in Russian and Spanish, so let's see if I... their beacon stands for Basic Earthquake Emergency Communication Nodes. So, earthquake, which will happen hopefully not too soon and not too destructively, but it will happen when and if communications go down, like they did in Hurricane Sandy. This city now, for the first time, has a map, and you can go online and download it. We're getting out to every household to put on their refrigerators and every business so that they can put them on the employee bulletin board, where you go if there is no communication after an earthquake. And the tent and the communications trove that we had out front while council was meeting is an example of that. Director Merlot.
Thank you, Mayor. Commissioners, Carmen Merlot, Bureau Director for the Portland Bureau of Emergency Management. The ordinance in front of you today is to establish an agreement between OPB and the city whereby in the event of an emergency where traditional lines of communication like the internet, like landlines, are not available, OPB would be willing to broadcast emergency messages from the mayor or his designee through their AM/FM broadcast channels. And so this creates for us yet another mechanism for us to get emergency information out to the public. I want to especially thank David Blitzer, my operations manager, who was instrumental in making this happen, and of course our partnership with OPB. But as the mayor said, this is part of a larger project that we're rolling out today, which is the Beacon Sites, the Basic Earthquake Emergency Communication Nodes. We've established 48 sites throughout the city of Portland that would serve as a place for the public to go in the event they could not pick up the phone and call 911 and ask for emergency help. And so each of these 48 sites were picked with certain criteria in mind, whether it's being out of hazardous areas, whether it's steep slope, floodplains, away from tall buildings, power lines, anything that can fall on them, able to accommodate a surge of people. And the idea is that within 24 hours after a large-scale event, these would be staffed by one of our city employees, our neighborhood emergency team volunteers, or other volunteers with a UHF radio, and they would make a communication relay with our fire stations and then to our emergency coordination center. Not surprisingly, many of these locations are in city parks and in school fields, and so I want to especially acknowledge Commissioner Fish and his team at the Parks Bureau for helping us locate these sites there. The mayor mentioned that everyone will be receiving a mailer in their every household will be receiving a mailer. I received mine yesterday. Hopefully, everybody else will be receiving theirs in the next few days. So I'll be happy to answer any questions you have.
Why? How would OPB continue to be able to broadcast?
Because OPB is the emergency alert system relay point for the state, they have extra redundancies that many other stations likely don't have. And when other communication systems might fail, like the cell systems, AM/FM radio is a pretty robust system, similar to amateur radio, and it's more likely that they would still be able to broadcast information where other stations or other systems couldn't. I don't know if, David, you want to add?
That's perfect. I mean, backup generation, redundant facilities, alternate transmit sites, stuff like that, yeah.
Thank you.
And statewide.
And statewide,
yeah, statewide network, yeah.
Right.
All right. Anyone wish to testify on this matter? This is an emergency, so we can go right to OPB and get it signed. Carla, can you please call the vote?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you for your walk. Aye.
Thank you. Fish?
Thanks for your kind words about the Parks team. Did we mention the rental charges?
Checks in the mail, Commissioner. Checks in the mail.
I don't know that we actually nailed that down, but thanks for your good work, Carmen.
Thank you.
Aye.
Adams?
Thank you again for your great work. Thanks to Amy Ruiz for her work on this and Jennifer Yoakum, who worked, and before her, Warren Jimenez. Boy, they all work at Parks now. and before her, Tom Miller. Thank you all. The city has needed this for a long time, so it's great to get it done. Aye. All right. Till tomorrow at 2 p.m., we're in recess.